If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 1 John chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life is manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. May we pray. Father, pray that you will bless the reading of thy word, and may you bless the message today to our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray, depending upon the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen. I hope you've had an opportunity to read some of these things. 1 John is a wonderful book to study, to read. It does deal with assurance of salvation. That's one of the main things it's dealing with. So if you want assurance of your salvation, read 1 John. Read it over and over and over, and it'll be a blessing to you. And if we look at verse 4, we're going to see what was the purpose. Remember the purpose of John writing this. He gives a purpose. He says in verse 4 of chapter 1, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And this has to do with assurance of salvation. If you fill with joy, you have the assurance of your salvation, which produces joy. John said, that's one reason I'm writing this. And another reason in 1 John 2:1. "And these things, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He wrote this that the Christians sin not. He means you don't practice sin. You don't sin habitually. Just keep on sinning and sinning. We fight against sin. We're to hate sin. We're to despise it. We're to love righteousness. We're to follow Christ. So he wrote his epistle that we would sin not. The third thing that he wrote, as we see, that you might know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." John wrote this book, wrote this epistle, this letter, that you can know by reading it that you have eternal life, and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. And he emphasizes the Son of God. We're to believe upon the name of the Son of God. And as he brings out in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 in his gospel, the assurance of salvation, he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of all his disciples, which are not written in this book." There's many things Jesus did is not written. They couldn't. He said the world itself couldn't contain all the things he'd done if it was recorded. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." That's the purpose. It's wonderful. If you believe upon Jesus Christ, we have life, eternal life, through his name. Now, there's another thing brought out in John's writings in this epistle, is to try the spirits. Truth versus error. That he was dealing with a lot of false teaching in his epistle. He says, "Beloved," verse 1 of chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be... whether they are of God." How do we try the spirits? By testing everything that you hear and read by the Word of God and prayer. This is how you try the spirits. There's many false prophets going out into the world. And it says, "Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." If that was true almost 2,000 years ago, how much truer today? There's so many false prophets. So you can see, he wrote it that your joy can be full, that we sin not, and that we can know that we have eternal life, and that we can try the Spirit to see if they be of God. There's many false doctrines and false teachers today in the world. Secondly, we see the fellowship. It says, and remember in verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Beloved, there's no greater privilege that we have as God's people, as children of God, that we can have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What a privilege we have. With the Father, if you think about our fellowship with the Father, you know, sometimes we focus upon the Godhead and we forget so much about the love of the Father. For God so loved, He so loved, He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us. As we're going to see other blessings, He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. There you see, fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe the reason John tied the two together is because we come to the Father through the Son. No one can approach the Father except through the Son. And we approach the Son through the Holy Spirit. You can see the Holy Spirit brings us to Christ. We pray through Christ to the Father. God in His essence is inaccessible. We cannot approach God in His essence, in His greatness, in His power. We're so undone and unrighteous in ourselves. We have to come through our advocate, through our mediator, Jesus Christ. What a blessing we have in Jesus. Sometimes we don't realize how great Jesus is. We go to the Father through Jesus Christ. If we pray, whose name do we pray in? In the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I would do it. Now, we are led of the Spirit in those things, and God leads us what to pray for. But, beloved, thank God that we have a fellowship with the Father. You know, in the prayer, the model prayer the Lord gave us, we have to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I know there's some on earth go by that name today, Father, but we only have one spiritual Father, and He's in heaven. We have no spiritual fathers on earth. One Father in heaven. And with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called. Notice this. We were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You've been called to that. Not just to be saved, not just to go to heaven, but we've been called to have fellowship, to commune and talk to the Lord. He's called the great physician. He's so many names the Lord has, we go to Him. He's our elder brother. He's our high priest over the house of God. He's the advocate with the Father, as we're going to see as we go continue on. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we've been called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that should make us stop and ask ourselves the question, am I taking time to fellowship the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit? You know, we sing that hymn, take time to pray every day. And I've been convicted of my prayer life as I've been reading this and studying this. I need to pray more. I need to take more time to commune with God. My Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a privilege we have, and we don't take advantage of it. To fellowship with God and have prayer with the Lord and enjoy the blessings. And now we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus says, if I go away, I will send you another comforter. He's our comforter. He comforts us. Now, He comforts us through prayer and through reading the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will take the Scriptures and He'll make them real to your heart that you can rejoice in the promises of God and have faith. And God, He'll give you that faith, which is a fruit of the Spirit, to believe God's Word and strengthen you. And we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit as we're reading the Word of God and studying the things of God. And we also have fellowship with the family of God. We, as a church, have fellowship. In Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That shows you the importance of doctrine. Doctrine is important. Some people say, I don't want doctrine, just preach Jesus. You can't preach Jesus about Jesus without preaching doctrine. What would you preach about if it didn't preach doctrine? The resurrection, that's the doctrine. His atonement, that's the doctrine. His saving his people, that's the doctrine. The blood cleansing us from sin, that's the doctrine. Justification, that's the doctrine. So you can't get away from doctrine, beloved. It's you don't know how to walk unless you have rules to how to live. And that's where the doctrine comes in. And fellowship. And in breaking of bread and prayers. Fellowship. We have common interests. What's our common interest? We have a common Father, our Father in heaven. We have a common Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our elder brother. And as we pray to God and seek God, so we have fellowship with the family of God. And when you go and visit other churches, you can enter into that special fellowship there is among believers. And there's a joy when believers get together and have fellowship together, talking about the things of God. And these things, he says in verse 4, write we unto you that your joy may be full. These things. Now, when these things write we unto you. Now, you can look past at some of the things that we read so far. The incarnation, the eternal Son of God, life was manifested in Christ, fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And then you can look forward to the things that John is going to be teaching in this epistle when he brings out these things. That your joy may be full. And some of the things we can think about just for a few moments to rejoice in, that we were chosen in Christ. Number one, Ephesians 1:4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We were chosen. That's one of the blessings that we can rejoice in this morning. We're one with Christ. Hebrews 2:11. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. We're one with Jesus Christ. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's our elder brother. What a blessing it is. We're one with Christ. We're a new creation in Christ, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature, a new creation of God if you're in Christ. That's one of the things we can rejoice about. Rejoice about. Second thing we're going to see, the love of God. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Where does the love of God come from? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, sheds that love of God in our heart. Why do we love each other? Because God shed His love into our hearts, as we're going to see. And that's because we've been born of God. Those who have been born again has the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. He says in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. And everyone that loveth Him, that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. So we see that God gives us love. And we love those that are born again, are begotten of God. We love the family of God. We love each other. We can know that we pass from death unto life. We'll see as we get on in this chapter. Because we love the brothers and sisters in the Lord. We can know. That's one of the evidences, is the love we have to each other in the family of God. Our love for God. He says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Being born again, God washed away our sins in regeneration. We've been born of the Spirit. Now, there's so much happens when that happens. When you're born again, you receive a divine nature. You receive a spiritual nature. You receive a nature that's born of God, born of the Spirit. Jesus, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. So to have fellowship with God, we must be born again. And we must be regenerated. And then God gives us that. He's the one who does that. The Holy Spirit quickens us and gives us eternal life, that we can have fellowship with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. So, beloved, being born again is something that you cannot do yourself. God does it for you. And we're grateful for that. And it says in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. That's Jesus taught all through the Gospels. We're to love one another. Love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If we're not showing love, and we're going to say the opposite of love is hate, and hate is murder, and Jesus said, and John taught in here, if you murder, how can you be a murderer and have eternal life abiding in you? You cannot, unless you've been cleansed and forgiven. But a person who's abiding hatred and murder in their hearts, according to the Scriptures, have not been born of God. So, beloved, being born again and having the love of God, that's one of the greatest evidences that you're a child of God. Give you assurance, do you love the family of God? Do you love God the Father? Do you love God the Son? Do you love the Holy Spirit? And Jesus taught us, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And this is one of the ways we can know that we pass from death unto life. Are we obeying the Lord? Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are we following the voice of Christ in the Scriptures? It's so important that we do that. And also, we've been translated into God's kingdom. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We were in darkness. We were lost, undone. We had no spiritual light at all until we're born again, until God sheds abroad His love into our hearts. And we're going to see, as we get into this a little more, we see God working in our life. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, dear Son. What a privilege that is. There's so much there, beloved, we can never fathom all of this. It's such a blessing. That your joy may be full. You remember what Jesus wrote in His Gospel, John recorded in His Gospel, in John 15:11, He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now listen to what it's saying. That my joy, you know, Jesus says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. He suffered. But He had joy in looking forward because He knew He was going to redeem all His children from sin and bring them all to glory to be in heaven. And that joy took Him all the way to the cross. He laid down His life freely because He loved us unto the end. He loved us. Paul said, who loved me and died and gave Himself for me. We each one can say that if we're born again. Who loved me? Jesus Christ loved me. He died for me and He gave Himself for me. What a joy that gives us. And we have His joy in us, that our joy might be full or bubbling over. And then in John 16:24, He says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. The Christian religion is not one of gloom and doom. If you're really walking with the Lord and you're in fellowship with God, it's one of joy, one of rejoicing, one of happiness, one of assurance, knowing that our destiny is settled, that we're on our way to glory. We're on our way to heaven. If death was to take us out, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We are to walk in rejoicing in the things of God. You know, Paul says to rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. We'll get in that in a few minutes. But the Christian life is not doom and gloom. It's one of rejoicing. You know that song we sing, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. It may surprise you what God has done. We need to stop and count our blessings sometimes and look at the goodness of the Lord. That song we sing, the Lord has been so good to me. I think all of us can say amen to that. Even though we all have trials, we all have temptations, we all have sufferings, this life is made up of many sorrows. But at the same time, we have many things to rejoice in, many good things. I'm glad there's a mixture of both in our lives. It keeps us humble, and it makes us realize that how vain this world is. There's nothing here really that's real. And that we have a home in heaven and the glory of God and to fellowship with all the people of God. We're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to that day. So the joy, that your joy may be full. And remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:24. He's writing to the church of Corinth, says, Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. And what are ministers? We're helpers of your joy. Why are we teaching you the things of God? To help you to see your assurance of your salvation, to point you to Christ, to show you that we're helpers of your joy. Not to dominate you. We're not dictators. We're helpers of the family of God to help you to rejoice in the things of God. You need to stop again, as I say, and think upon what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about being helpers of your joy, pray for ministers. We all need prayer as we stand and teach and try to encourage you and strengthen you in the things of God. If you going through trials, what do you think the pastor's going through or the ministers are going through? Satan attacks us more than he does you. If he can discourage the pastor and the elders, he can discourage the church. So remember, we need your prayers constantly. Even the Apostle Paul said, brethren, remember us in your prayers. Remember, pray for me, pray for me. And we say the same thing to you, Brother Roger, Brother David, myself. Pray for us. As you think about the Lord, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, whom having not seen. Now, we haven't seen the Lord physical body as yet. You love. Whom having not seen, you love. Though we haven't seen him, we love him, because that love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now this is produced by the Holy Spirit. By the Word of God, the promises of God. He said he would indwell us. But he would send us another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And he produces us that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes you have such joy in your heart. Now, we don't have this every moment, but there's seasons when God blesses us with special joy. He gives you that assurance of your salvation. You feel closer to the Lord. It seems like God seems to be so near you. Now, at other times, we have to walk strictly by faith. We have no feelings, no emotions. It's a walk of faith. But there's sometimes that faith becomes so emotional and it just bubbles over in your life. And it could be from reading the scriptures, hearing some music, spiritual music, hearing a sermon that blesses your soul, or maybe you're just meditating on the Word of God and you see something, say, oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful truth. And it just lifts up your soul. So some of these things are, Peter says, they're unspeakable. Yet believing, you rejoice. You rejoice. Now remember, he says believing comes first. Believing. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It didn't say by darling you rejoice. When we're cast down, and that's where Satan likes to catch us, cast down, where he can bring his trials upon us. When we're cast down, we get discouraged, we get depressed, and we're not believing as we should, and we go farther down and down. And that's easy for us to get, because sometimes trials can bring you down. They can. And that's when it takes faith, that faith of the Holy Spirit, to believe God's promises that he said he'd never leave us nor ever forsake us. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, he says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Joyfulness. You want to be filled with joy. As God is working in your life, it will produce what? It will produce joy in your life. Joy. Someone gives you a gift and say it's worth $4,000 or $5,000. Boy, that makes you excited, doesn't it? Wow. That was worth $5,000, and he just gave it to me. That's one type of joy. That's more of emotional joy. But there's a spiritual joy when the Lord gives us special understanding of the spiritual things of God. It gives us a special joy. I'm on my way to heaven. My sins have been washed away. There's no condemnation to me. I've been set free by the grace of God. And when you get a hold of that sometimes in your study, in your reading, it just produces joy. Joy. And that's how we get assurance of salvation, by reading the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit will apply the Scriptures to your heart to give you that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. What a blessing that is. Also in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The second one is joy. J-O-Y. One person put it like this: Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's how to remember joy. Jesus is first, others are second, yourself is last. If we practice that, it would be a blessing to us. So a fruit of the Spirit is joy. So it's there in us. It just needs to be brought out. And the Holy Spirit at times gives us a blessing in our walk with God, in our fellowship, in our prayer life, reading the Scriptures, that He gives us that special joy. Now, I don't think He gives it to us all the time because we get depending upon it. We look more for joy than you look for the Lord. The Bible said, the just shall live by faith. We shall walk by faith. It's a faith walk, even though you don't feel it. Some people think, well, I must not be born again or saved. I don't feel anything. I don't feel like I'm saved. Where does it say in the Bible you're saved by your feelings? We're to live by faith, beloved. We're to live by faith. And a lot of times we have to walk by faith, not feelings. We're to rejoice in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Again, we have so much to think about. When you feel condemned, you sinned, and you have conviction about it, and you confess it to God, and God forgives you, you can rejoice that God provided a way to be forgiven by confession. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll deal more with this when we get down to that verse. But what a blessing to rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes you can't rejoice in yourself. You can't rejoice in your circumstances. Maybe everything is going wrong in your life. Everything. But Paul says you can still rejoice in the Lord. He said that the sufferings of this present world cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, beloved, there's a special blessing coming one day when it's all over. When it's all over and it's all behind us and we'll be in glory. With no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. What a glory it would be. We'll realize, rejoice in the Lord. No matter what our state, read the Scriptures and take comfort that you can rejoice in the Lord. Are you sick? You can rejoice in the Lord. You look to Him as your great physician. Is there sin bothering you? You can rejoice because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Are you cast down? You can rejoice because the Holy Spirit is our comforter to lift us up. We have so much to rejoice in. We can rejoice in the Father because the Father's love never changes. He loves us when we're up. He loves us when we're down. He loves us in the middle. He always loves us. He doesn't love us less when we sin. And He doesn't love us more when we're obeying Him and following Him. His love never changes. The manifestation of that may change. But beloved, we can rejoice in God's love. Rejoice in His salvation. Rejoice in the things of God. So I pray this morning that you and I both will learn to take time to rejoice in the Father's love and the Son's love and the Holy Spirit's love shed abroad in our hearts as we read the Word of God. You know, Nehemiah the prophet had this to say in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be you sorry. Now, when we come to the house of God, we should feel like that. We shouldn't come to the house of God being sorry. We should be rejoicing. We're going to the house of God to meet with God, to worship the Lord, to sing hymns unto the Lord, to hear the word of God, to build ourselves up in the faith. Let us be joyful and not sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy produces strength. It does. It gives us inward strength, the joy of the Lord. Now we're coming down to verse 5. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now we're coming down to where John's getting more particular. He's bringing out something. Now this is something that if you think about it, God is light. Nowhere in Christ's teaching did he say God is light. But remember, there was a lot of things that were done by Christ and taught by Christ that's not recorded. So I'm sure that John heard Christ teach things, and he remember in the book of Revelation, Christ revealed things unto John in the book of Revelation. And this is one of the things I'm sure he heard Christ teach, which was not recorded. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I have a note here. The word light in the Greek text is without the article. There's no article in front of the word light. The absence of the definite article shows quality, nature, or essence. God as to his nature or essence or his character is light. God is spiritual light. Spiritual. God is spiritual light and holiness. Think of light as holiness. God is. There is no evil can ever penetrate God. Nothing can ever touch God. And you'll see the importance of this here. These next 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is the grounds of our fellowship with God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. If there's no forgiveness of sins, there's no fellowship with God. Now, we're going to be dealing with some practical subjects because, beloved, one thing you must face, you have to deal with the sin question. Now, John says, one reason I wrote this, that you sin not, but if any man sin, as we're going to get to that, we have an advocate with the Father. So you're going to sin in your daily life. When you do, you have an advocate, and we'll be dealing with that when we get to chapter 2. But, beloved, this is dealing with God's nature and essence. God in his essence is one. There's only one God. And in that one God, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's only one God. As we're going to see this as we keep going through it, He's God is light. He's also in chapter 4, verse 8, he's called God is love. Again, the word love is the same as above, without the article. In other words, God, according to his nature, is love. That is, God is a loving God. A loving God. He's not just a, he's not a light. He's light itself. He enlightens everything. Remember, God said in Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. Now, he is spiritual light. Remember, Christ is life manifested. He's the light of the world. Jesus is called the light of the world. And it says, he giveth light unto all men that come into the world. Our knowledge of things comes through Christ, everything that we know. And spiritual life and spiritual light comes through Christ. He's the light of the world. He's called the light of the world. And remember that Jesus came to reveal God, John 1. And God is light in his essence. Jesus is revealing to us the holiness of God, the purity of God. God's without sin. Jesus was without sin. He couldn't have had fellowship with the Father if he was sinful. But he was sinless. And he had communion with God. He went out and spent nights in prayer with God. He realized the importance of that. So as we think about God is love toward His children. He's loved us with an everlasting love. There's never been a time God didn't love you and I. Now that's hard to imagine sometimes, isn't it? We can't comprehend that sometimes. There's never been a time. And remember that Jesus, as the God-man, was set up from everlasting to be the mediator of His people. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He was set up from everlasting in the purpose and mind of God. You know, Christ has said He was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that doesn't mean He was slain from the foundation of the world, but in the purpose and mind of God, He was as good as slain from the foundation of the world. So God is love. And then Jesus taught in John 4:24, God is spirit. And so His nature or essence, He's a spirit. He's spirit. In other words, He doesn't have body parts like we do. God is pure spirit. Pure spirit. When we get to heaven and glory, paradise, we're not going to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's only going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God will be manifesting, the Godhead bodily will be manifested through the man Christ Jesus. The glory of God. Remember when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration and His body was so bright like the sun, and when He appeared to Paul, Paul almost went blind when he saw the brightness and glory of Christ. We're going to see that in glory. But we will have glorified bodies. Oh, beloved, we serve a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God. How wonderful that is. God is spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God, according to His nature, is spirit. Remember, God is the great I Am. Remember, Moses asked God, who should I say sent me? He says, I am that I am, the self-existing one, sent you. In other words, God is eternal. He's self-existent. He doesn't need anything outside of Himself to exist. He's always existed and always will exist. He's beyond time. There is no time with God. Time's in God, but God's not in time. He's infinite. We can't really comprehend. What little we know of God, we get it from the Scriptures and through the teachings of Christ. Christ came to reveal God to us. How do you know the love of God? You see it in Christ. How do you know the faithfulness of God? You see it in Christ. How do you know the power of God? You see it demonstrated in Christ. You see it demonstrated in throughout the Old Testament. Oh, beloved, what a blessing. What a blessing we have of the self-existing one, the great I Am. Remember, they asked Jesus, and he said, before Abraham I was, I am. He said, I am. He said, how can that be true? You're not even 50 years old. Because He was the I Am that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And that was Jesus in His deity. He was set up as God-man in the purpose and mind of God. But He didn't exist as man until the incarnation. He became flesh through the Virgin Mary. And we're grateful that He's of the seed of David and of the seed of Abraham. And He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He bypassed the angels. Didn't take on the nature of angels. He took on the nature of man, of humanity, and became a man in the fullness of time. He came and was born of a woman, made of a woman, in the flesh. And He was called the Son of Man. What a blessing that is, beloved, that we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and man. If He wasn't both, it would be idolatry to worship the man Christ Jesus. But He's one with the eternal Son of God. And we can worship God in Him. Hallelujah for that. Now, the Apostle Paul, in writing this about this light shining in darkness, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, we'll look at a few verses. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now listen to this in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Hallelujah. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How do we get this knowledge of Christ? God commanded light to shine in darkness. We was born of God. We were regenerated in it. When we're born again, He gives us the understanding and the light to see the knowledge of Christ and to believe in Christ and to follow Christ. It's a command of God. He commanded that. We were in darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But there come a moment when God, the Holy Spirit, commanded light to come into us. We were born again. Hallelujah. Paul, one minute, was killing the saints and arresting them, putting them in jail. Then all of a sudden, that light appeared. And Paul said in the next moment, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? He was changed that quick. That command of Jesus, that light went into his heart and soul. And he saw who Jesus was. And he said, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? And I pray in each one of our lives we have that experience. Not like Paul had. It's glorious as Paul. But when we have the faith to believe the Word of God and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And all three of these stress what? The immateriality of God. God does not have a body. And the goodness of God. And God in His essence. God in His essence is spirit. God in His essence is light. God in His essence or nature is love. That's just a little glimpse of the God we serve. Infinite. Infinite. Think about this. There's no past and no future with God. Everything is present with God. God never learns anything. He knows everything. We can't comprehend that. God's in eternity. He always was and always will be. That's the God whom we bow down and worship. Guide me, Thou great Jehovah. There's a hymn. We do serve the great Jehovah God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And be grateful that that love of God has been shed abroad into your heart. And the next thing we see, in Him is no darkness at all. In His being, there is not a single trace of darkness, which darkness, in a sense, is symbolic of sin. There is no sin in God. For John, darkness is not merely the absence of light. It has a moral quality. Notice what Christ said in John 3:19-21. And this is condemnation, that light is coming to the world. He was the light of the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love sin. So darkness is symbolic of sin. Light is symbolic of holiness, the holiness of God. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So we see, beloved, that darkness is evil and light is holiness. And Jesus said, men love darkness until that light shines into their heart. They will never change. So what should we pray for our children? That God would give them a new heart. Until they have a new heart, they're not going to follow the Lord. Because they're in darkness. And sometimes we hate to think about that, that our children, our loved ones are in darkness. But until they are born again, they are in a state of darkness. They're blinded. The God of this world blinded their eyes. And, beloved, they need a new heart of the Lord to give them a new heart that they can follow the Lord. And that light shines into their heart. They see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that only God can give that. We can give it to each other. We can't give it to our children. In view of the nature and demands of fellowship with God as light, neither suggests is possible. As Himself is pure and holy, God cannot condone or have fellowship with anything that is contrary to His nature. Until we have a new nature, we cannot fellowship God. That's why you have to be born again. And we go to Jesus, we go to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, in God is no darkness at all. And as we're going to get in the next verses, we're going to see God does not fellowship sin. God does not fellowship sin. Now, this is where you're going to see how important it is to deal with sin in your Christian life. May we pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word and testimony. Pray that you'll bless these truths to our hearts. Help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Pray that the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our teacher, one who enlightens us to know the things of God, would teach us and make Christ real in our hearts. It's the name of Jesus Christ we do pray and give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing?